Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello and good evening, good morning, good afternoon, what time of day and whatever it is. Welcome here into the Fandom Nexus. I, of course, am your host, as the man says, Jeremy, the Spider-Pan of Neverland. I'm going to mention this was once the Neverland podcast because would you believe we have almost wrapped up our 11th season. I've been doing this for about 11 years now, and I've got something special planned for next week if everything goes right. We'll have a couple of special guests. We'll have a nice, good Star Wars conversation, leaning into the expanded universe of books, all of the pre-Disney Star Wars. We're going to be having some fun with it next week, if everything goes according to plan. It's two very special guests coming next week as we wrap up a series, our season finale, for the 11th year. And part of my brain says, should I stop at 11? Can we go into 12? And I think we can. I'm in the middle of working up things for Planet Comic-Con for this year. I've made contact with Dan Vietz. He is set to be able to return with me to give his presentation. It's a wonderful presentation for about Walt Disney's time here in Kansas City and in Missouri. So if you happen to be in Kansas City or if you want to come to Planet Comic-Con, come and check out that panel. It was a great time last year. We'll have more fun this year. And I am trying to get in contact with the Walt Disney Hometown Museum and hopefully hope to hear back from them in order to get something arranged. In order to have them come for another panel. I had a hard time getting a hold of them last year, and I thought, well, maybe this year, maybe it's my email address that's neverlandpodcast.com. Maybe their email server doesn't know what it is, so it doesn't trust it. So I've sent emails to them through my Gmail account, and I hope that is going to get through. Last year, they did give me a call kind of late, asking if we were going to do anything together for the Planet Comic-Con. And I said, well, I sent an email over to Sumner and I never heard anything back. And so I wondered if something didn't go wrong with the email. So hopefully I'm going to hear from them soon. We have, I think, till the end of December to get our application in for a panel. And I think I'm just going to do the two panels this year, like I did last year. I don't know what I would do for a third panel, but either way, you know, doing some Disney stuff, people always really like it. So you know what? Give the people what they like. So that's what I'm doing. Well, we do have a lot of fun planned for today. Mainly, this is going to be a movie review and a little bit of an in-depth look at the best Christmas pageant ever. And you say, it is Thanksgiving week. Why am I hearing something about Christmas? Because I went to go see the movie, and I went not only because I wanted to see it, but I also wanted to be able to share it with you. So I've been digging up everything I could about the book, the author, the movie, and we'll go through all that today. But before we do that, what have I been watching? And that is a good question. What have I been watching? I don't know that anything significant. Other than I kind of got caught up in watching, it's kind of this Friend Zone series. There's a YouTube channel. It's Mikey and Wyatt. There's some language in there, some themes maybe you might not like. It's not something I'm recommending for kids. But I kind of got sucked into it because it was based off of a comedy series or something that they do on this website. But I got sucked into the story a little bit. And one character kind of reminds me of my wife, Heather, the bio nerd. And so I kind of end up watching new episodes. And apparently it's been quite popular. You might be watching this yourself. But yeah, I've kind of looked in on some of that. So if anything, I've been watching that. And then occasionally some episodes of Cells at Work, which is an anime. I believe you can see at least one season on Netflix, maybe on Hulu. I know that's how we watched one season, but now it's on a Crunchyroll. My wife has a Crunchyroll account and she just wants to sit around and watch anime all the time. And so if I'm sitting down to eat something, she's like, let's watch another episode of Cells at Work. When really, if we're going to watch an anime, I was kind of enjoying watching Fairy Tail. And we're kind of lost in limbo on watching Fairy Tail at this point. And then there's another anime that's something about the Shield Mage or something like that. That she got me into, and I really like one of the characters on there, and I was kind of invested in her storyline, and I was wanting to see what happens next with that character, because she was about to get assassinated because she accidentally wore clothes that presented her as heir to the throne and something, and I thought that was interesting. But she's kind of a neat character. It's because like the Shield guy, who is our main hero, he finds this little girl who's kind of like a dog girl kind of thing. And I thought it was cute. You know, you gave her a ball, and she's never been treated very well. She's been treated as a slave. It's kind of a thing how their world works. But it gave her a ball and her tail would wag. You know, she acted like a dog. So I thought, well, this is an adorable little kid. Well, because of what she is, she grew up fast, and he was training her because he's the only thing he's allowed is a shield. He needed somebody to help fight monsters. And so they could level up like a role playing game. So he taught her how to use a sword and she's got experience. So she's become quite the warrior. So she's been kind of a fun and nice character. And so I've really enjoyed her growth and everything and following that character growing up from this cute little kid to a grown woman with a tail. Yeah. So, and now that she's got, whoops, I'm going to be, someone's trying to assassinate me, you know? And I don't know what season that would be of the show, but we're waiting for it to sometime come to Crunchyroll. We're hoping it didn't get canceled, but there is a manga. But it's really hard to get that here in the States, especially when you want it translated into English. So, I mean, we've been watching Cells at Work, though. And to explain Cells at Work, it's basically a bunch of anime characters, and each one, like this one, I'm the red blood cell, and I'm a white blood cell, and I'm just normal cells, and I'm, based on all the different type of cells that are in your body. And it's supposed to be like it's set inside this body, although it's like made to look like a city. And all the cells, like a red blood cell is kind of like a courier. So all the red blood cells are running around and they deliver food and oxygen and all this stuff to the other cells. And of course, a white blood cell is part of the immune system. There's a lot of different cells in the immune system, like T cells and an NK cell and a virus of some sort will sometimes invade the body, or the body will become injured. You know, there'll be massive damage and, you know, all kinds of different interesting things. So it's kind of educational, but it's kind of a fun how things work. It's about the best I can explain it. It's fun. It's kind of bloody because when they slaughter a virus, it bleeds everywhere. You know, it's kind of gross. But yeah, so we've been watching that. So what have I been playing? I have picked up Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm going to hopefully finish it. This is kind of on the recommendation of Dr. Jeff Barnes, who's been on the show a couple of times to talk about his Disney books. He recently was raving how much he enjoyed. He just completed the game. And I said, yeah, I kind of got distracted. And heck, the last save I had was about 3 years ago, I think. So it's been a while. The only thing I can think of that might have happened like 3 years ago is I was probably playing the heck out of Final Fantasy Remake or something, and then Rebirth or whatever. But I got sidetracked playing other games. And I think I kind of got irritated when I got strapped on a tropical island and I wasn't in the main area of the map anymore. And I lost most of my guns and I was not happy. But I'm back in the main area of the game again. So I was starting to have some fun again. So I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2. I aim to finish the story. And then by the end of the month, and here actually in just a few days, 3 days, I think, is the official release date for the hard copy. I bet it's available digitally, but I was waiting for a hard copy of the Capcom Marvel Fighting Game Collection, which will include the X-Men Children of the Atom, Marvel Super Heroes, all of the Marvel versus Capcom games. Well, not all, but the original arcade ones. Including a Punisher game that has never been released on a home system. So I'm looking forward to sitting and spend some time playing that, but I need to finish Red Dead Redemption 2. I just don't have a lot of time to sit and play, though, anymore with work. And then I get home kind of late, and then I'm trying to make sure I'm getting some content together to share with you for the podcast. So it's keeping me busy. That, and of course, we're trying to continue with the Watching Movies with My Pastor podcast, a brand new podcast where Philip and I sit down and we watch a movie and we commentate on it. And it's often funny. Sometimes we get some good spiritual content out of it. And there, of course, is a sort of a video series where so far we've only have one real video. The other videos are basically some animation playing while the podcast is playing. But anytime we watch a movie I have not seen before, I'm going to be filming us. I'm setting up things a bit better with green screen to make it look like we're sitting in a theater. And Philip thinks my reactions to movies I haven't seen before is going to be hilarious. So we filmed those. I've actually recently posted a video up. Maybe you've seen it onto YouTube where I have me in the theater with a bikini girl. And I won't tell you the joke, but there's a joke. And so if you happen to see that thumbnail where there's a girl in bikini standing in a theater that I've posted, then go and check it out. Of course, you can find that one over at Watching Movies with My Pastor on YouTube. Of course, we're on Red Circle and everything. Wherever you look for podcasts, go and check it out. New show. I'm slowly building up an audience, and I'm thinking you would enjoy it. You'd hopefully have some fun with it. And I'm working on making it even better, adding new things to the show, doing a bit more research on the movies we watch so we can share interesting facts like the production, how much the movie made, and things like that. The Video Game Awards are coming up very soon, and y'all know I'm a big fan of the Final Fantasy VII. Well, series. I enjoy the regular game, and right now, with watching movies with my pastor, I've got two episodes. I'm about to release a second one where I'm sitting with my wife playing the original 1997 Final Fantasy VII, which I've managed to get a copy of the original PlayStation when we're playing it on the PS3 in the living room, and I've been recording some audio. Because Philip has had knee surgery and I don't want him to be grunting in pain as we're watching a movie. So we haven't done anything like that. But as a fan of it, I'm part of a grouping or whatever, a fan thing or something to where I ended up seeing this post, and I'm going to look for it here. There we go. So the Game Award nominations and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has got several nominations, including Game of the Year, Best RPG, Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Score and Music, Best Audio Design, and Best Performance by Brianna White, who is playing Aerith. And of course, y'all know, if you've been listening for a while, that Aerith is my favorite video game character of all time, and I have several toys of her on my desk right here, so I can prove that I'm a fan. So yeah, I've spent quite a lot of money on Aerith figures now. So I'm pretty excited about them being nominated. If you happen to be a fan of that game or any heck, if you're just a fan of games, I recommend you go and look this up and fill in your picks from the nominees of put in your votes of what games were your favorites of a lot of different categories, including VR and multiplayer games and all that. And go vote for your favorite games. And, you know, if I can nudge in the direction of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth for any category you don't really have a pick on, but you happen to see that's in that category, could you vote for it, please? I'd appreciate it. I would appreciate it won. And that's, you know, last time there was a big thing at the Game Awards, it's actually where they had Lauren Allred come out and sing what was the theme song for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And I really enjoy that song. So my wife's getting tired of hearing it because it seems like every time she gets in the car, it just happens to have popped up a few times. Not as often as she says, but it's been on playlists and everything. Of course, right now I'm on my Christmas playlist already. So let me tell you a little bit about Dubby. If you head to NeverlandPodcast.com, you'll find large letters that say Dubby. That'll take you out to Dubby.gg with a discount code of Neverland. And you get a discount when you buy your these are drink powders for energy that will not give you the jitters. It's not just a bunch of caffeine or whatever like that. So it's good for gaming because you're not getting the jitters. It's just good, healthy energy. It's drink mixes. You just mix it in water. You can find all kinds of different flavors and bottles for that. It's all there at Dubby. And of course, like I said, NeverlandPodcast.com. You will find the link right there. So you can just go straight to Dubby. But now it is time for a movie review, which we haven't done, I guess, since Beetlejuice.
A movie?
Yeah. Any good?
It was bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good bad thing.
My eyeballs could have been sucked from their sockets.
I like it a lot.
The best movie ever made.
A Fandom Nexus movie review.
Why'd you have to tell them they get food at church, dummy? Because I didn't think they'd actually walk into a church building.
I'm surprised they didn't burst into flames.
Sorry I didn't volunteer. Did I ruin the pageant?
Oh my goodness, no. Honey, Beth,
I will tell you what I told those condescending, hyper-controlling busybodies from church, that while Helen Armstrong might be surprised the sun rises every morning, even though she's not there to supervise it, she is not the only woman in the world who can run a Christmas pageant. And if they don't think I can do it, they are in for a big lesson.
You said all that?
Well, not all of it.
Any of it?
Never mind.
Okay, so there's a clip from the best Christmas pageant ever film, directed by Dallas Jenkins, who is son of Jerry Jenkins, that you might be familiar with the Left Behind series of books. Jerry Jenkins was a writer on that. He's the one, of course, with more of the storytelling. Tim LaHaye was an expert on Bible prophecy before he passed away, and that together they wrote the Left Behind series. Whether you think that their theology is sound or not, it was an interesting story, I thought. I know not everybody enjoys it, and they haven't really gotten any... Well, though, that last movie with Kevin Sorbo was pretty good. They've never fully quite captured everything that the movie is, that the book has, but that they've done fairly well. But anyways, but Dallas Jenkins is his son, and you might be familiar. He's the creator of the Chosen series that is streaming, and I think it's being shown on the CW now as well. I'm about somewhere in the second season that I need to watch the rest of it. This was written by Platt F. Clark, Darren McDonald, and Ryan Swanson, starring Kinley Hyman, Sebastian Billingsley Rodriguez, and Judy Greer as Grace. The book was written by Barbara Robinson and illustrated. The original was by Judith Gwynn Brown. It is meant to be a children's book, but of course, now I remember watching this in the first grade. There was a made-for-TV movie, and I really didn't get into it in the first grade, so, you know. I don't think I really paid much attention to it, other than there's a funny scene where one little girl was yelling, "Hey, under you, a child is born!" And I thought that was pretty funny. That's the only part I think that I remembered from having watched it in the first grade. And of course, I did see that happen again. This was published in 1972 by Harper and Row. It was titled "The Worst Kids in the World in Australia and New Zealand and the UK." Children's novel, of course, written by Barbara Robinson, 1972. Tells the story of six misfit children who volunteer to star in their town's Sunday school Christmas pageant and end up teaching the town the true meaning of Christmas. It's narrated by the first-person perspective of Elizabeth Beth Bradley, which is daughter of the pageant's daughter, now Beth in the film. The actress was this adorable little girl, Molly Bell Wright. I hope I'm looking at this right here because it's a very tiny picture. There's that little girl. Just an adorable little girl, does a really good job of playing the role. She's been in Deep Water and Omaha and Flavia, something like that. Not really recognizing a lot of other things that she's been in, Mistletoe Ranch. So she's done some Christmas films before, but, done a few series, like Troppo, Joe versus Carol, Darby and Joan, some things I've never heard of. I don't watch a lot of regular TV, but she's playing Beth, who is our main focal character, that the whole story is coming from her perspective. And this is about the six Hurtman children, Imogene, Ralph, Claude, Leroy, Audie, and Gladys. They're notorious. They're rowdy. They're misfits. Cigar smoking, cussing, drinking, jug wine, shoplifting, and committing arson. There's a lot of stuff about them burning down a shed. They've never been disciplined because their father hopped a train and never came back when Gladys was just a baby, and their mother is always working multiple shifts to make ends meet, which is sad. I mean, this does happen to people in real life. Despite their poor performance, the Herdmans steadily pass through elementary school, since holding any one of them back would mean having two or more of them in the same grade. Because there's quite a few of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. And they're fairly back-to-back before their father abandoned them, which is sad. It's a very sad case. Fathers, stay with your kids. You know, God hates divorce. That's all I can say. Because what you're doing, you know, being a single mother is tough. It is so tough. And so, of course, the mother having to work, you know, multiple jobs trying to, you know, take care of all these kids with a father who's completely absent. It's just sad, horrible situation. And so these kids are just growing up in that bad situation, and they're completely miserable. And, of course, they get told that the church offers snacks, and so they show up for Sunday school. And the mother of Beth, their Grace, ends up in charge of the Christmas pageant. And suddenly the Herdmans are there, and they decide that they want to be Mary and Joseph and the wise man and the angel. So they kind of take up the whole thing. And it's basically everything that happens at this point. And I don't want to spoil anything for you.
I will say that I really enjoyed this. Now that Robinson first published the story in McCall's magazine before it was adapted into a book, it sold over 800,000 copies. The book was adapted by Robinson into a play, which was first performed November 26, 1982 by the Seattle Children's Theater. The book was adapted into a television movie on ABC in 1983, starring Loretta Swift and Fairuza Balk, then an unknown actress. Robinson also wrote the adaption's teleplay. Fairuza Balk, if I remember correctly, she looks a bit older, but I believe she played Dorothy in Return to Oz, also in films like The Craft. There she is, Dorothy Gale in Return to Oz and The Craft. She also was an Adam Sandler in The Waterboy. A lot of different things. So that's kind of fun that she was in this TV version. The Herdmans were featured in two of Barbara Robinson's book sequels, The Best Halloween Ever and The Best School Year Ever, which now I'm kind of curious about these other books. So Dallas Jenkins, creator and director of the TV series The Chosen, announced in late 2023 that he was signed to direct a feature-length film and adaptation of the book. Lionsgate and Kingdom Story Company collaborated on the production. Filming began in Canada, December 2023. They wanted real snow, from what I've heard. The film was theatrically released November the 8th.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So that 1983 version that was made for TV, starred, of course, Loretta Swit, Jackson Davies, Anthony Holland is who's listed. Loretta Swit playing Grace Bradley, Anthony Holland as Reverend Hopkins, Fairuza Balk, as mentioned before, as Beth. Janet Wright played Helen Armstrong. I'm trying to see if there's any other names that I might recognize who played anything. A lot of, I guess, unknowns. Some of these people, most of them don't even have a photo here in IMDb. It was directed by George Schaefer, in case I haven't mentioned that before. And like I said, I do recall we watched this in the first grade, but really, I couldn't tell you anything more than that, that we watched it. I don't really have much memory of it. But this modern film had music by Dan Hazeltine, which and Matthew S. Nelson, which those in the right community of things might recognize Dan Hazeltine as being from the band Jars of Clay, which, believe me, in the 90s, around 95, 96 or whatever, when I was running around the Baptist Student Union, Jars of Clay, man, we all had that first CD and we played it and listened to it frequently. So I thought it was kind of interesting. He was involved in some of the music. A lot of the songs in there, there's a lot of Christmas music. I don't know who performed all of it, but a lot of different Christmas music being sung by various different artists, which I did enjoy. Now, the film itself, of course, it's led by a lot of children actors. And of course, Judy Greer, which if the name doesn't come quite familiar to you, she, of course, plays Grace, the lead mom of this whole thing. She has been in just about everything, including playing Maggie in the Ant-Man film. She's been, well, Jurassic World, because she was the mother of the two boys. She was in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 13 going on 30. The Book of Jobs, playing a mom. She's been playing a mom a lot lately, even though I do recall, I think she was in, oh, and even War Pig, the voice of a war pig in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. She's very recognizable. She's been around for a very long time. My goodness, going back to the roles back in 1997. There's a lot of the cast is a lot of these kids, which you probably have not seen in anything before. And you really needed the kids to do a good job. And, you know, they had to be just the top. And especially Imogene had a lot. This actress, Beatrice Schneider, I'm pulling her IMDb page up. She really did a wonderful job in the role of Imogene because she's got to be a rotten kid, but she's kind of the ringleader of the Herdmans. But she'll steal your heart and make your heart break for her because you realize the situation her and her brothers are in. It looks like she's been doing some Snoopy Presents of being the voice of Lydia, which I think is a little girl that Linus has had a crush on. She really did a great job, I think, for giving a kind of a weighty role. I think she really did an excellent job with this role. But she has to really carry some major scenes of this film. And I don't want to give away too much of the plot and how things go, but this film really, I think it's aimed at us church people, because some of the characters that kind of have a stick up their rear might remind you of people you've known in the church, and maybe might remind you of yourself. It points out a lot of the foibles that some of us in the church might have, to where we might have to stop and take a look to say, hey, am I behaving that way? So it'll make you take a good look at things. And also, you know, I think there's a lot of people that we end up, we take a look at them and we don't have much hope for them. We think, oh, well, they're just a lost cause, and we give up on people. But, you know, we don't always know the full story, right, of what people are going through. Everybody's got their struggles. And until we really know their struggles, you know what people are going through, you know, don't give up on people. God can do a lot of things with people, and he can get through. And we do see this moment where, like, the whole story of Christmas gets into Imogene's head in a wonderful, beautiful scene. There's a little bit here. This is from the Washington Times. They got something here from Plugged In. The first line is, the Herdmans were absolutely the worst kids in the history of the world, which is actually how the movie begins as well. And that's Barbara Robinson's first line. And it's a short novella of the best Christmas pageant ever. And it's the author of the article here says, it's a sentence that never fails to make them smile. And they always get a little misty at the end of it. There's no replacing a book that comes Christmas. This movie does a bang up job of bringing it to the screen. And as you might have, I'm reading this, by the way, as you might have gathered by now, or hey, even from just reading the movie title, this story is pinned to the Christmas story. And if you dig underneath all the movie's humor, it's intended to remind us just how beautiful, powerful, and messy that story is. And that is one of the major themes. Imogene, who's got kind of a rough life and all the things that she laments, the more she learns about Mary, the more she finally relates to Mary and understands Mary was a very brave and tough girl to have to go through and follow God's call on her life and to be a part of God's plan. Mary was a remarkable woman. And that's, I think, what kind of ends up being a key thing to Imogene is she doesn't feel like she's worthy of it. She wants to be like Mary, but she doesn't feel like she is. But then she quite understands Mary as she was. Currently on Rotten Tomatoes, this has got a 91% from 55 reviews of critics and a 97% from 1,000 verified ratings from viewers. I am also looking at Gladiator 2 has got a 75%, so it looks like that I might end up seeing that one, but I'm not entirely sure if Gladiator needed a sequel, so I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it looks like it is being very much enjoyed by everyone. So if my endorsement isn't enough, then you know, take thousands of other people who went out to go see this film. And I always listen more to the people who view the film more than I would the critics, right? That's just kind of how my brain works. But I do recommend this film. It's early, yes, I know, for Christmas, but it's really something you can take the entire family to. I did notice when I was at the theater that there was like a group of kids that were just kind of all dumped off to go and watch this movie, because it is aimed to be a kid's book. But I think some of the themes of the film are maybe a little over the head of some kids. I mean, as a first grader, I don't think I really got it or got much out of it. But as an adult and having grown up in the church, I pull a lot more out of it. And it shows just kind of the beauty of the actual Christmas story and how difficult it was. I really don't know any more of a shining endorsement I can give it from that. Some of the central themes of this is that we've done the pageant the same way now for 75 years. And all of us who've grew up in the church, we're used to that. We have the pageant. Here it is. Yep. There it is. Da-da-da. You know, we've done the pageant. But do we take the time to think about what it must have been like and the significance of this event in human history? God walking on this earth, coming as a baby so he could grow up, teach us, and then die to take our sins away. But it all starts here at the birth. And it was a difficult thing. You know, you got a young girl, they're refuge. And there's even a line in the movie, it says, well, those, so they just look like refugees. And Beth kind of smiles like, yeah, but so was Mary and Joseph, you know, and she kind of gets it that they were, you know, they're having to move, you know, because they're being taxed. I mean, and they were a world controlled by the Romans and the oppression and everything going on there. It was, it's a lot of interesting things were going on at the time and a lot of difficulties. And I mean, this was not a difficult story. It's a beautiful story, but it's a difficult one. And getting to see some children learn that, and then the community gets reminded of what this is really like, to get the real meat of what Christmas is, and the excitement of a little girl who's playing the Christmas angel. Hey, unto you a child is born. The excitement and the joy of that as expressed quite loudly by a little child. And it reminds us how awesome this is. And I think for that, this is a very important movie that I definitely recommend. And I know it's early. You haven't got through Thanksgiving, but I tell you what, this coming week, and when you go and you have your meal, there was kind of a tradition. A couple of times my family, we'd go to a movie on Thanksgiving. Probably shouldn't do that. You know, let's let people stay with their families. Although I have a feeling the movie theaters are going to be open. But on this Black Friday, maybe instead of going around fussing so much with the shopping, why don't you get your family together and go see this movie? Launch your Christmas season, right? Of course, now if you're in Kansas City and you're local, you might want to be watching the Raiders game. But you can go in the evening, or, you know, just go, make some time this coming weekend, or if this or this or the holiday weekend or whenever, just go take the family and go see this movie and launch your Christmas season the right way. And that's pretty much what I've got to say about the movie. And that's pretty much what I have prepared for this podcast. And I know it's kind of short. We've only been going 35 minutes, but I've taken out a lot of the extra fluff sometimes that happens with the show. Although sometimes I do like to play some public domain radio shows. I don't think I'll do one today. I just want you to kind of, I want to leave you with the thoughts of, you know, go reread The Christmas Story or go see this movie and really think about how challenging it was. If you've never considered how challenging this was and how amazing this story is, you know, take some time. So I will pass that off to you. But I do want to remind you that you can find links for Podgagement, and that's at neverlandpodcast.com. Podgagement, if you happen to have a podcast, you want to get your reviews sent to your email. That is a wonderful way to get your reviews sent to you, and a lot of other great tools by Daniel J. Lewis, award-winning podcaster. It's a great service. I've actually got to pay my bill of $50 here coming up to get me the entire year of that service. So it's a great service for a minimum fee. Really, really great. Can I say how great it is anymore? I feel like I've said that a lot, but I do recommend it. And hey, you know, it gives you a lot of open ways to go and leave reviews. If you've not left a review for this podcast, and I definitely could use some more, I haven't gotten one in a while. I've got quite the stack that we stacked over the last 11 years, but it seems to have come to a halt. And I know we did split off a lot of people from the audience when this show changed and we just stopped covering Disney. That's a whole other story. But, you know, we're building something new, and you can help build this show by leaving a good review and sharing it with friends. And maybe at some point I'll be able to get things arranged while I have a regular co-host. And so with conversation, this show goes a bit longer. But sometimes keeping it short is short and sweet. I do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show. They helped me out with the introduction that we used. We do have an email address, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. If you happen to send me an email, I will read and share and maybe answer some questions on the podcast about it. We don't really get a lot of emails. We do have a Twitter or X at Neverland PCast. We're on Facebook as Neverland Podcast. I recommend the group, but there's also a fan page. But the group is also a great place to have discussions. And Jonathan of Diz Radio shares a lot of fun retro things on there as well. And of course, you can join the Neverlanders right there on our website. Become a Lost Boy or Pixie. Why a Pixie? Because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. You also can find links for our Patreon right there. Patreon.com/Neverland Podcast. You can go and become a patron. Get some bonus content, some exclusives. Get no ads other than the ones that I save myself. But the ads that I break the show up with, you can avoid those. So also... you can become an exclusive member through Red Circle. That'll be right in the show notes. You get the same benefits pretty much as a Patreon member, although I can't put videos, and patrons get videos of whenever I actually have a guest on and I'm making video of the podcast. I make those exclusive to the Patreon account. So, but that'll wrap things up for this week. Don't forget to come back. Very special episode. We're wrapping up 11 years of doing this podcast. with some very special guests, which I'll tell you about next week. But until then, get lost in an adventure. Merry Christmas. A week early, or about a month early. Happy Thanksgiving as well, because you're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving this coming week. So, okay, now I'm babbling on past where I'm supposed to end the show, but happy Thanksgiving.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.